Shane, thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.
Good afternoon. Got a bit of a shock there. They had the Neffet briefing earlier in the day than we're used to. Did you get a bit of a shock as well? You did. Yeah. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. And despite the numbers and despite, you know, what we heard there in the news, there's a definite air of positivity around the place. People have a pep in their step, a smile on their faces. And things are happening. Things are happening. Niamh was walking home. Niamh, who produces the show, she was walking home yesterday evening. She got a ping of an incoming text. She read it and she yelped. She went, yes, yes, jumped around the place. Strangers looked at her as if she was going a little bit crazy. She'd been texted by her hairdresser. We're pleased to offer you a priority appointment due to missed appointment in lockdown. Appointment info instructions to follow via SMS. That's a text to you and me. And that's from her hairdresser. It's you know, and everybody has their own little thing, don't they? I got a phone call last week from Conor Pope and he was asking me, what are you looking forward to? They're doing seemingly, I don't know if it's happened or whether it's happening tomorrow. 100 people are being interviewed and everybody was asked, what's the thing you're looking forward to when we come out of lockdown? Mine, I'll leave it, you know. Spoiler alert, not that anybody cares. Anyway, loads of things. The other thing we were talking about today, which is interesting, is, and like, it is going to be difficult. We've been doing this on and off for the majority of a year. And there are things that won't return to normal. We were trying to think of the things that we won't be doing ever again. Like pick and mix in the cinema. You're not going to be doing pick and mix, are you? No, no, you're not. And when you're at a party and, you know, a bowl of crisps comes around, you're going to be less likely to go into that, are you? I don't know. But the biggest and the saddest thing of all is the handshake. Now, if we lose the handshake because of this pandemic, I will be a very sad man. I don't know about you. The handshake is something really important. And the hug. And, you know, we tended to hug people even that we didn't know that well. You know, if you have an encounter with somebody and they share intimate details about a lost loved one or something like that. And although you didn't know them half an hour or an hour earlier, you just feel that it's the right time, it's the right place, and it feels appropriate to give them a hug. Is that going to stop? Yeah. It'd be very sad if it did. It'd be very sad if it did. What else? What else do you think is going to... Things, buffets, they'll be a thing of the past, will they? Buffets, yeah, I think they will be a thing of the past. People, anything that involves more than one person touching the same thing over and over again is gone. So we must draw up a list of those sort of things, yeah. It's a big weekend for television. Loads of things to watch, and of course, people are looking forward to the final episode of Line of Duty on Sunday night. We're playing catch up at home. We've just entered series 6, so I don't know if we're going to get to the other 5 episodes before Sunday. But a lot of people are looking forward to that. So that's big. That's big news tonight, 9:30. You probably want to record this if you're watching the Late Late Show, but Steve Coogan returns as one of comedy's great characters, Alan Partridge, this time with Alan Partridge tonight at 9:30. You know, he's the sort of the early evening TV host who gets it wrong most of the time. And one of the standout moments in the last few years on television was when he was interviewing a man from Ireland who looked like him. Remember this? And then he launched into song.
Come out, you black and tan, come and fight me like a man. Show your wife how you won medals down in Flanders. Tell her how...
Yeah, context is needed for that to be funny. But the context was brilliant and the comedy was laugh out loud. So he's returned tonight at 9:30. You might want to record that. A lot of talk about this, about the accents. Jamie Dornan and Emily Blunt. Wild Mountain Time is available to rent on Sky and Apple TV and Amazon Prime and Google. Anywhere you can stream, you can get it. You can get the accents. Anthony and Rosemary, and the way they might look at you, and the way they might put on the Irish accent.
Are you all right?
I'm fine.
What are you doing out there?
Fishing.
That was fishing?
Yeah.
Without a rod? Who were you talking to?
I wasn't talking.
Left to be talking, then swatting, then you jumped in.
I did not. It's a Kelly's to jump in. I'm O'Reilly.
You're O'Reilly.
What are you doing down by the river?
what I've been doing after this one.
Oh, you're not still from the night before.
I am.
Yeah, listening back to it now, I don't think Emily Blunt's accent is that bad at all. It's probably better than Jamie Dornan's, and he's from the island of Ireland. Will you be watching it? Have you any sort of... Yeah, you'd be curious, wouldn't you? You'd be curious just to see how good or bad it is. It's hard to believe, while we're on movies, that it's 10 years ago that Bridesmaids hit the big screen. What a brilliant comedy. And of course, it launched Chris O'Dowd into the stratosphere. Prior to that, he'd done The IT Crowd and he'd done The Clinic and other things. But that was his first role in a Hollywood movie. And because of the success of that and his... He was brilliant in it. He played the part of Rhodes, a cop who befriended Annie, who was the the bridesmaid who wasn't doing a good job of it. And this is one of their interactions early on in the movie.
Planning a wedding should be fun. You know what? If I ever had a wedding, I'd want everybody to be stress-free, you know? I'd like it to be like a carnival. Like people win prizes for guessing the bride's weight, and dunk tanks.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. You could have elephants and the bride and groom can walk on a little tightrope.
Okay, what you're talking about there, that's a circus wedding.
Oh.
It's a totally different... I missed it.
If you haven't seen that, it's a brilliant movie. And Melissa McCarthy's in it and her hubby's in it. And it's just laugh out loud stuff. So I'm a bit envious of you if you haven't seen it, because you're in for a treat if you have time over the weekend. And Bradley Walsh is returning. Well, he's never gone away. He's ever present, isn't he? Bradley Walsh on The Chase. But they're bringing back... Yes, they're bringing back the great Blankety Blank. Of course, Terry Wogan was the man, wasn't he, when it came to Blankety Blank? But it's returning to the BBC and Bradley Walsh is going to be the presenter. Is it the BBC? I don't know. It could be the BBC. So that's that. That's TV and movies. What are you saying on the text 51551? I managed to book The Hair for the 11th. See, things are opening up on the 10th. And Nails for the 20th. Yoo! Can't wait. It's actually in Cork. Declan here. My hair appointment is booked in. I look like a Yeti. sharing food, digging your hands into a bowl of crisps at a party. That's going to be a thing of the past. No more blowing out the birthday cake candles, Ray. Regarding buffets, salad bars are still in use in supermarkets, so maybe things will not be as bad as we thought, says Phil. Thanks for the mug. You're welcome. Yeah, I better tell you about our quiz, because we've loads of things to do today. We've places to go, like Kildare and Sligo and the UK and all sorts of places. But first, our quiz of today. Yes, today is the final day of April 2021, 30th of April, and we've cobbled together 10 questions on events that happened on this day over the years, centuries, decades. You know, the big news stories, scientific breakthroughs and the like. And we're looking for two people to come on and answer 5 questions each. And there's a prize. Yes, there is. From the Flynn Hotel Collection. Steeped in over 200 years of history and tradition, the Imperial Hotel in Cork is regarded by many as the Grand Dame. Is that how you say it? Of Cork. And the perfect base to explore all the city has to offer. The prize is a 2-night stay with breakfast on both mornings and dinner on the night of your choice at the time at 76 on the Mall restaurant. During your stay, why not treat yourself to a pamper session in the Escape Spa before you leave? It is a hidden gem in the city of Cork. You can find out more. Imperial Hotel Cork. Imperial Hotel Cork. That's the prize. That's the .com. If you want to be involved, answer a qualifying question. In which Irish county would you find the town of Buncrana? In which Irish county would you find the town of Buncrana? 1850 715 900. That's that, and we may be talking to you after 4 o'clock. Now, we've loads of places to go, as I say, Sligo in a moment, but first to Kildare and the edge of the Curragh to singer Aoife Scott. How are you doing, Aoife?
Hi, Ray, how's it going?
Not too bad. And Andy, your partner in music
Andy's
and life,
here
is with
in
you
the
there.
Background.
Yeah. Hi, Andy! Yeah. So it is on the edge of the Curragh where you live, isn't it?
It is, yeah. We live in a beautiful place called Ballysacks, and we're very lucky to have be surrounded by the Curra and the rolling hills and two big fat dubs in the middle of the countryside. Now we've been adapting.
Have you been ruralized, if that's a word? Because you've had loads of time, more time probably than you would have wanted, to familiarize yourself with your surroundings.
Yeah, because we lived here, we've been living here for in Kildare for 4 years, and you know, it's been before that, you know, we'd only just be coming home to repack our bag and, you know, kind of get all our gear together to go off on tour again. So for the last year of lockdown, you know, we've definitely explored every single inch of our 5 kilometres. We know an awful lot about it, and I'm friends with all sorts of animals.
Right. Anyone you want to introduce us to?
Yeah, well, I have made a friend of a little robin called Arthur. I've named him Arthur after our neighbour of ours who was actually our landlord when we moved down here. And he was a 93-year-old and brother and sister and Detta as well, the Phelans. And Arthur passed away in October. He was 94. So we missed his kind of little visits, you know, because even during lockdown, the first lockdown, when he wasn't supposed to be driving, he was 93, you know.
Yeah.
He was such a rebel that he'd come out and drive down to us. And we wouldn't let him get out of the car, you know, but we'd be delighted because we wouldn't have anybody to visit us. You know, we wouldn't see anybody. We'd see John, the postman. John was an amazing man, keeping us going. And the Diagnons across the road, you know, would say hello. And you know, they were our social network. But so now my little Robin, now I'm obsessed with him. I named him Arthur, and he comes to visit me every single day. And
that's lovely.
Absolutely delighted. Yeah.
So
it's amazing.
It's with trepidation, I think. You're obviously looking forward to doing gigs again, but because you've sort of created this new world for yourself with Arthur the Robin and the other wildlife and the Curra of Kildare, are you a little bit scared about going back into the real world?
Yeah, it's a weird feeling, you know, because you tend to, I saw the whole country feels like this, you know, after the news yesterday, where you're kind of going, okay, so we're going back again to reality now. And are we ready? You know, am I ready? I'm definitely not ready. No, I mean, I guess just the idea of the hustle and bustle, the way we used to tour, you know, we used to just be flying around the place, like, and we'd always be late, you know. And now I don't think we've been late. Obviously, we've nowhere to go. So we haven't been late.
You can't be late if you've nowhere to go. Yeah.
So it's a funny feeling, like, you know, the idea of having to be somewhere at a certain time, you know, and Jesus, we'd probably be there 3 hours early now. If we had a sound check, we'd be just sitting outside waiting on the sound man to come and let us in, you know.
So thanks so much for helping us out with this. We had Jack L last week, did our first kitchen session, and yours is a kitchen session in name, but not strictly speaking in the kitchen.
No, we're in the bedroom.
Right, okay.
Because you would actually hear the birds, because they kill each other over the bird feeder outside. So it would be so noisy down there. They're amazing, like, but the sparrows are lethal. So they're killing each other all the time. So we decided we'd come up to the softness of the bedroom, because there's a duvet and it's a bit more of a carpeted area. So we give you
better
the best
sound quality
we could possibly give you from
listen,
our bedroom.
Listen, Eva, there's a lovely coincidence about having you on today, because March 12th, 2020... when Leo Varadkar addressed us from Washington and told us that the schools were closing and universities were closing, and I suppose that was the official start of lockdown. We were on, and there was people were just, they were scared, they were frantic. Everyone was talking, what's going to happen today? People, every show had like 10, 12 people on in 5 minutes, blah, blah, blah. And we came on and we just said, look, we need a moment of pause. And we played your lovely version of Dublin Saunter.
Yeah.
And it just brought everything, everyone went, that's lovely. So it's lovely that you're going to sing
it. It's an annual
song. Yeah. It's an annual song.
It's an annual song, but it's a magical song.
Oh, it's a magical song.
Yeah, I actually heard it for the first time when I was 8 years of old. My Nana Scott, you know, because I come from a musical family. So
yes.
Of course, all the other side of the family were all very musical, but my Nana Scott, you know, she couldn't really sing, you know, but she sang this to me when I was 8 in the kitchen, and it was one of those magical moments. It just lifts your spirits.
All right.
And I suppose we've missed Dublin for the last little while. So we're singing it for them. Yeah, for anybody who's missing walking around Grafton Street with a bustling, going into Bewley's on a Sunday, sunny Sunday afternoon. So
brilliant.
I hope you like it.
So when you're ready, yourself and Andy. Thanks Eva.
Dublin can be heaven with coffee at 11 and a stroll through Stephen's Green. There's no need to worry, There's no need to hurry, you're the king and the lady's a queen. For Grafton Street's a wonderland, there's magic in the air. There's diamonds in the lady's eyes and gold dust in her hair. And if you don't believe me, come and meet me there. In Dublin on a sunny Sunday morning. I've been north and I've been south and I've been east and west. I've been like a rolling stone. But there's one place that I know I'll always love the best. Just a little town to call my own. 'Cause Dublin could be heaven with coffee at 11 and a stroll through Stephen's Green. There's no need to worry, there's no need to hurry, you're the king and the lady's a queen. Grafton Street's a wonderland, there's magic in the air. There's diamonds in the lady's eyes and gold dust in her hair. And if you don't believe me, come and meet me there in Dublin on a sunny summer's morning. I've been here and I've been there, I've sought the rainbow's end, but no rock of gold I've found. But I know that come what may, whatever fate may bring, here my feet are deeply in the ground. 'Cause Dublin can be heaven with coffee at 11 and a stroll through Stephen's Green. There's no need to worry, there's no need to hurry, you're the king and the lady's a queen. Grafton Street's a wonderland, there's magic in the air. There's diamonds in the lady's eyes and gold dust in her hair. And if you don't believe me, come and meet me there in Dublin on a sunny summer's morning. In Dublin on a sunny Sunday morning.
Oh, I'm all emotional and teary eyed nearly. And it's, you're getting people, Hillary and Cork, I'm bawling. So much emotion. Don't make me cry again, beautiful. And
I know, I'd be crying as well here, you know. It's tough because we haven't been performing for anybody, so I just want to say thanks for asking us.
No, it's so nice to be asked. Yeah, and it's lovely that we're in your home. I know it's radio, but we are in your home, and thanks for letting us into your home. I absolutely love Eva Scott. I have both her albums, and she's one of my favourite Irish artists. Thanks for having her on the show today. Her songs always lift my spirits. Myself and my husband have been to her live gigs a good few times, and she's such a warm, lovely person, Maureen Gough. And I suppose we dedicate that to Nana Scott then, the memory of Nana Scott. Yeah.
Thanks,
beautiful version of Dublin Saunter and wonderful song. I learned this in school many, many years ago. I can sing, but if having a sing song with friends, I will always attempt this song. Aoife sings it wonderfully. Lovely. Great voice, wow. Tina Farrell.
That's great.
You do it justice. It's a beautiful version of it. A really lovely version of it. Full of emotion. And yourself.
Yeah, well, I think you can hear my want of walking, you know, Grafton Street. Grafton Street's a different place now, so we're hoping that it'll all get the magic back by the summertime, you know.
Yeah,
everything will be open up and
sure
all back to normal.
Just in case I forget when I'm talking to you again, you're part of Tradfest, which is starting on RTE2 on May 13th at 11:10 over 6 weeks. So
the Dublin Castle sessions.
And you did them back in December there.
December. We had a magical time where they just invited us to Dublin Castle, and it was literally like we dreamed it, you know, because we went in at, we actually were recording it late. We went in at like 11 o'clock and just looking at the lights of the city while we were recording, you know, because we were high up. Just amazing, like, so it's a really magical show prior to Tradfest that we did, and we'll be singing our song that we wrote during the lockdown, which is called Sweet October. So.
Sweet October, right. Yes. Now, the deal is that you can go off and feed Arthur the Robin or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I might do that,
or
actually. Say,
wave at the Dignans or whatever, and then as long as you're back at about 4:20 to sing us out and have a little more, a bit of a chat. For the moment, Aoife Scott and Andy, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
That's lovely there. So that's... Kildare, the edge of the Curragh. And now we go to Sligo and we say hello to Ethna Reynolds. How are you doing, Ethna?
Very well, thanks, Ray.
Is it Drum Sulla?
Drum Sukla.
Oh, Drum Sukla. Oh, so it's not a silent GH. You actually say
no,
the G.
No.
Yeah. And whereabouts in Sligo is that, Etna?
It's just into County Sligo. We're on the borders of Roscommon and Sligo.
Okay. Now, the big emotional story of lockdown for me was the separation of grandparents from their grandchildren.
Yes, very emotional for us too, Ray.
Yeah, yeah. How many grandchildren have you got?
I have six.
Yourself and Tom have six grandchildren, right?
That's right, yeah. We have Sean, who's nine.
Right.
And we have Karen, who's six. Tara, four. Patrick, four. Niamh, two. And baby Niall is 8 months.
Right. Now, how much time have you been in the company of baby Niall?
Once at his christening.
That's it?
Yes.
Right.
And at that time, Ray, there were only seven people allowed at the christening.
Hmm. So important people had to stay out as a result.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, all the aunties and uncles and their children. No children allowed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was hard.
So he's 9 months old now.
And yes.
He hasn't got a clue who you are, Etna. I'm sorry to say it, but that's...
Oh, he has no idea. No. We talked to them on FaceTime, but he's smiling and he's clapping his hands.
Yeah.
And he has two teeth.
But you know, the bonding thing depends an awful lot on scent, on your smell, you know, and
yes,
that's what
absolutely that, yeah,
that's what babies pick up on. So they'd know,
yes,
although they wouldn't be able to articulate it, they'd know granny smell and they'd know,
yes,
granddad smell, and you know, so that's big news when things open up on the 10th. So a lovely piece by Maurice McDonough in the Times today.
Yes.
So who's in the picture there?
My husband Tom and our grandson, Patrick.
Aha, so he's Niall's older brother.
Yes, and he's from Ballybuffet in Donegal.
And prior to lockdown, what was the visiting arrangements?
My son Mark and his family came every Friday.
Every Friday?
Yes, and Mark helped out in the farming. And of course, the children had fun with granny and granddad.
Yeah.
Spins on the tractor,
yeah,
walks to the lake.
Ah, lovely.
All that kind of thing.
And have you got animals? Have you got animals?
Oh, we have cows and calves. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So you were a huge part of their lives.
Yes, yes.
And vice versa.
And vice versa.
Yeah, yeah. How has it been for yourself and Tom then?
It was lonely. The week was very long. We missed out on the weekends from the Dublin gang.
Would they come up as well from the weekend?
They used to come from Dublin every couple of weeks.
Right. And that'd be John, and that's the son, and Sean is the grandson, yeah.
Yeah, Sean and Karen and Tara.
Right, yeah.
And we missed out on all the birthdays last year. And it's not the same putting money in a card.
No.
As going to the party and having the cake and...
And are you a big... Would you bring cake with you, or what way does it work?
Oh, yes. Grannies always bring cakes.
Right. What's your speciality?
Chocolate biscuit.
Oh, I love that. Chocolate biscuit cake.
Yeah. And cupcakes with loads of sprinkles.
Right. Okay. I'd say the sugar count now from Granny is quite high, is it?
You're allowed when you're in Granny's house.
Yeah. Yeah, and then your poor parents have to drive home with sugar high children. There you go.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. So, what are you most looking forward to, Etna?
We have our first vaccine got,
great,
and our second one is due the 20th of May. So, we're looking forward to the June bank holiday.
Yeah, and will everybody pile in then?
Everybody will pile in.
Yeah.
All the bacon will be done.
Yeah.
All the walks ready.
And I believe you've it's new to you, a picnic table.
Yes.
Where did that come from?
That came from a friend.
Right.
A donation from a friend.
So that'll be in big use now over
that'll
the
That'll be in big use as well. We're looking forward immensely to it.
Yeah. I suppose, you know, bad and all as it was, the technology did help, didn't it?
Yes, it did help.
Yeah, you were at least you were seeing them growing up. So
yes, Yes.
What milestones did you miss on with poor Niall? What has he done so far? What has he achieved?
Well, he's smiling, of course. Yeah. He has two teeth.
Yeah.
And just the social interaction. He's never seen anybody apart from his mammy and daddy and his other granny Anne, who lives near them in Ballybuffet.
Right. Okay. He has a whole big world to discover and explore. Yeah.
It sure is. It sure is.
I was saying at the top of the show there, that there's a sense around, isn't there, Etna? You can feel it in the air.
You can.
Yeah. You can. It's hopeful and positive. And
very hopeful now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us from Drumsockle in Sligo.
Yes.
I hope everything goes well and you get to cuddle Niall and he gets to know Granny's smell.
Yes. Thanks very much, Ray.
Okay, Etna. Bye now. Bye.
Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Lovely talking to you.
Bye.
Just still text coming in on Aoife there. I'm from Laois and I used to visit Dublin for the day here and there, and that song makes me feel nostalgic. That Dublin song was beautiful. I love Dublin Saunter. Thanks, Aoife. And so lovely listening to the beautiful Aoife Scott there. And she's such a lovely person too. Can't wait to hear her next song, Emma from Fairview. And that's my favourite Aoife Scott song. What a beautiful treat for a Friday afternoon. Elaine McNamee agrees with Aoife when she describes it as magic.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, and of course, retail will be back to normal shortly. Sonia Lennon and Brendan Courtney join us to chat about their new collection with Lennon Courtney and why they want women to start putting themselves first again. Good afternoon,
Hi,
Sonia
Ray.
Lennon. Hello, Brendan Courtney. Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, so before we get to the mojos and the collection and all that, I suppose people are in a reflective mood today because, you know, we're at a juncture here, aren't we, between lockdown and out of lockdown. So, Sonia, I'll go to you first. How are you feeling?
I'm sure I'm an absolutely interminable optimist. I'm feeling fine. I'm disgustingly optimistic at all points.
Right.
Look, you know, that is not to say that, you know, we haven't been through a major crisis. We absolutely have. But look, there's green shoots, there's hopes.
Yeah.
For the first time since lockdowns began, myself and my sister got to visit my mum in her nursing home today.
Ah, great.
And she has dementia. She's amazing. She lit up. She hadn't seen her two girls together in one space for over a year. And, you know, it's little things like that that make a huge difference, I think. That's a big thing, Sonia.
That's a big thing.
Yeah.
And does she know that you're her daughter?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she does. Yeah, she does.
So yeah. She's still there. I mean, yeah, we won't go into the full.
Okay, fine. Sorry, I sort of ambushed you there with that question. So Brendan,
I don't mind talking about it, but maybe another time.
Okay. You've had time to think about it, Brendan. So how are you feeling?
I suppose reservedly optimistic as well. You know, I'm a little more of a pessimist. I'm a bit more glass half empty. Bit, you know, I want my vaccination and I want it yesterday.
Yeah.
The good news is my mum's had both of hers,
right,
and has responded really well. And in fact, her friend up in the Heights had her second vaccination, and she said she's going around clutching her arm like someone shot her. Nothing wrong with me. So, mum's great.
Well, in fairness, it does affect different people differently, you know.
Of course it does. I'm just saying, my mother seems to be made of Teflon, you know. If there was a nuclear holocaust, it'd be cockroaches and my mother would still be on the planet, you know.
Listen, congratulations again on Keys to My Life. Thank you so much. It's a lovely watch on a Sunday evening, 7:30. Who's on this week?
Christy Dignam, the King of Dublin, as I've called him now. I tell you, try and walk down any Dublin street with Christy and it's virtually impossible. It's like walking through New York with Madonna. You just can't go anywhere. Like, it's unbelievable. I've never experienced fandom like it in my life. It's lovely. It's very lovely. Very heartwarming. Yeah, he's a lovely guy.
I'm fascinated to hear from me about what people are wearing because, you know, the last year has changed our attitudes to clothes, I would imagine. I'm just thinking in my head that that's the case. Maybe it's not. Yeah. So, in what way has it changed, Sonia?
Well, Yeah, it's funny, you know, it's felt a little bit like surfing throughout this whole thing because, you know, at the very, very beginning, we went dark. Dunn's had such an extraordinary demand for essentials that they brought all the brands down off the platform. And that was a weird place to be for us that, you know, we kind of didn't exist for a minute, you know.
Yeah.
And but obviously that was the right thing to do to make sure people had what they needed at home. And then I suppose when we went back up, we kind of sold consistently through the period. We had one launch during lockdown two. And I suppose we had a launch 2 days ago.
Yes, you did.
And we were really, really positive about it and really sure that the timing was right for this. And in fact, we've been telling this story and really saying to women, look, you know, women have been disproportionately affected by this lockdown in a million different ways. And right now, we need to sort of seize this optimism, get our confidence back, own it again and come out. Like, you know, I talk about the fact that my dad, when he was teaching me to drive, said, you've got to break into a corner and accelerate out. And now is time to accelerate.
Yeah, and you say that it's affected women more than men, obviously, because that's, you know, in the main, the two groups of people. And you have the stats around that as well.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. So you can see, so we obviously have information that we're privy to information. We can see and globally reports are that homeware, kids wear, men's wear even, when, you know, did pretty well. Women's wear just completely stopped.
Right.
Add into that equation the fact that women make 80% of all domestic purchasing choices, including the car, by the way. So they're pushing the shopping trolley and they're holding the purse strings, but they've literally just stopped putting themselves in the trolley. And we really noticed that as well. And so that's probably part reason, because somebody in a suit somewhere in government buildings decided that clothes weren't essential. So, you know, so basically women's wear fell off the face of the earth. And but not only that then, don't take our word for it, the recent report from the UN report on the effect of COVID on women and girls. You're seeing across the world, women are doing a third more of the unpaid domestic duties than men. Women are 40% more likely to quit paid work to take up unpaid care. So women have been doing all the heavy lifting. And the final stat that's really quite alarming and very interesting is that 80% of frontline workers are female.
Yeah.
And yet we see so little representation, female representation in NPHET. We see very few spokespeople coming forward from NPHET. So it seems that women have done all the heavy lifting, but have been making so few of the decisions.
Yeah, well, that's been the way of the world for a long time. We thought it was changing, but obviously it's not changing fast enough.
Well, this is it, yeah.
Well, I think that's the real challenge at the moment, is that some of the wins have been eroded. And, you know, we spoke to you before, myself and Brendan are doing a master's in equality, diversity and inclusion to really explore that more. And we don't imagine that we're going to come out of that with the solution and be able to fix it. But we really need to be mindful of our position. I mean, you know, look at Turkey and the erosion of women's rights there. None of these things are to be taken for granted, you know. So we need to protect the wins that we've made and our democracy. These are precious things to be protected, you know.
But Sonia, and we'll get back to clothes in a moment, but like, still, you know, women are badly represented in positions of power. I'm looking at the you know, 22.5% of TDs are women. And then you see
37 female CEOs on the Fortune 500.
Right.
Like it's
and
it's,
even
it's
even this week, like the fact that it was big news that Helen McEntee had a baby, and congratulations, it is big news for her and people around her. But the big news was that she made history as the first government minister to have a child in office. Like we're in 2021.
Yes, but then you look at the, you know, the report from the Citizens Assembly, and you see that there is good thinking there happening. And actually, the Citizens Assembly is such a wonderfully democratic way to look at decision making in this country. It's really progressive, you know. So we have an opportunity. We know we can do this as a country.
So what have they said?
Just
remind us.
And move quickly.
Remind us what they've said.
Oh, I mean, it's extensive. I think there's 45 points on it. A big focus on childcare and really driving forward, government interventions around free, sustainable, quality childcare. I mean, really, you know, I really believe that without that, a lot of it is window dressing, because, you know, if women are being penalised by having to take these unpaid caring duties on, then we can never really get those wins, you know?
The big recommendation that's kind of caught everyone's attention as well is the removal of Article 41.2, which in our constitution outlines that the value of the woman's position in the home, and which is really quite shocking. But that recommendation is an interesting one, because there was a move by the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission to rename it to carer, so that you could add value to the care, and then that could give an actual fiscal value to the care in the home, and maybe even give it support.
Yeah, there's a great book that we had the author on here, Hand, Head, Heart. David Goodhart is his name, and he speaks an awful lot about, you know, the value to the GDP of carers, you know, house husbands, housewives, all of those people, and that we underestimate them completely. It's a good read.
Well, it's globally, they've put a value of $33 billion on it,
right?
In terms of unaccounted for value to the mechanism of our economies. So our economies can't function without this unpaid care, and it's not a line item anywhere. So there's a real problem there, you know.
And it's 80% women.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm just interested because, you know, people listening will know what happened during a lockdown. It was tracksuit bottoms and maybe a pair of sandals with socks on. And, you know, if you're working
from
home.
Speak for yourself, Ray.
If you're working from home. I never thought I'd see the day, but it happened. It was quite comfortable. So I believe somebody said that it's actually trendy now to wear socks with sandals.
It is, yeah.
It is, right. So thanks, Brendan. Thanks for your approval. Thank you. So,
listen, Ray, if you hang on long enough, anything will become trendy.
Yeah. What did you say? Yeah, well, a broken clock is right twice a day. So people now are emerging out, and they're going to be going to functions, do's. You know, there might be weddings, and they'll be meeting people that aren't immediate members of their family, and they'll want to dress up. And so, is it just back to where we left off, or is there a
not
change
at
in
all.
That? No. Okay.
Well, I tell you
not
what's funny, right? So the one thing that has changed is that we will never again accept the notion that we will be uncomfortable in our clothes. So we're just not going there.
I don't believe that.
No, I'm telling you, we've got too used to comfort. And for us, for Len and Courtney at Dunn Stores, that's integral to what we do. You have to be comfortable in your clothes, or else there's no point. And I give you a laugh. We posted the video that I modelled in the campaign. Little ingenue that I am. And I was up in Port Ran in Tower Bay in my high heels, clambering up the rocks. And we posted on our social media, and somebody put up a comment to say that they didn't understand the ad, that it wasn't appropriate, it wasn't beachwear, and there was a health and safety issue with me being on the rocks in my heels.
But there, you see, Sonia Lennon, there's the case in point. High heels. Like, you're not telling me they're comfortable.
Yeah, but then somebody else wrote underneath, this ad says, it doesn't matter as long as you're happy where you wear your clothes, as long as they make you feel
or
good.
Or what you wear. And,
you
wear. And that's the point. Now, it's important to say that looser silhouettes, easier comfortable shapes are really important, and fabric feel, when you touch it and touches your skin, it has to feel comfortable. That's really important. But never be afraid of the use of design, colour and print to lift your spirits. You know, that's really important to us as well. So they two can live very happily beside each other.
And what about, Brendan, because it looks like younger generations now are, you know, they're taking the fast fashion thing seriously. And they're shopping more in secondhand clothes shops, and they're upcycling and recycling. So how is that going to affect people like you?
Well, we're not a fast fashion brand anyway. And what we try and do is really look into, like this season as well, we've launched our first recycled polyester, and that we're really happy about that. And so there's a massive body of work happening that, and as he said, younger shoppers are very astute now.
Yeah.
So and I think the law will change, to be honest, Ray, in the next few years around it. So, I mean, big brands like Dunn Stores and everybody else is very aware of that. And everybody's on a journey now. There's a big move towards sustainability because everybody wants to do the best they can for everybody on the supply chain. So yeah. For us, we've visited all our factories over the last few years. We make sure we know all our manufacturers personally. We're very involved and we want to know what's the provenance of the fabric we're buying, where is it coming from, are people being paid properly? So we're all on this journey to try and do better and be better. And I think you're right, there's a big change coming. And I think COVID really accelerated that change.
It did, didn't
it?
Yeah.
Are very happy. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're very happy to be part. We looked around and realised we don't need half the stuff we have. You know,
yeah,
we really
right.
did, didn't we?
Yeah.
I was kind of on that journey anyway in my own head for a few years. But I think it's very much happening in the zeitgeist. You're absolutely right. So, and if people aren't on board with that, they're going to get left behind.
Find Your Mojo is a free event. It's happening on the 19th of May and you can go to evoke.ie. And it's geared towards women, Sonia?
Yeah, so this was really an idea that we had that we felt, look, you know, I think it's time to help people, to help people to have the tools to accelerate out. And that's where it started. It started off really as a sort of a fashion and confidence workshop. So we do a lot of workshops with women and men around kind of utilising tools that can help them to reframe their challenges and their situations, to understand and gain a bit of self-awareness about their own position. So they're very simple tools that we use, but we had an idea to just bring together people for a free event, particularly women, but men are welcome as well, to have a bit of fun and to try and say, come on, let's shake it off and start again.
Yeah.
But we had no... listen, in the words of Jaws, we had to build a bigger boat. We reached capacity very, very quickly, which is a real indicator that we're doing something right. So we've increased the capacity, but it is limited. Great. Now at this stage. So yeah,
Evoke.
Very, very excited to be Evoke. Working with Duns and Evoke.
Okay.
Or Len and Courtney's Instagram, there's tickets there as well.
There's three tickets.
Plus we're going to give away a couple of Len and Courtney Loves You hampers to two friends
right.
on the night, and you can register for the competition there. And also we're going to give away a couple of nights stay when restrictions are properly lifted in the Wineport Lodge with
Lovely.
Dinner for two and spa treatments and everything.
Spa
it's just
treatments.
A little bit of, to a little bit of give back to mainly to our woman, but everybody's invited. And I tell you, we launched it about a week ago, and within a few hours there was nearly 2,000 tickets gone. So if people are literally sitting up and going, I'm going to that.
Get there now. Limited availability, as I say. Delivery van just arrived with some lovely new Lennon Courtney bits. Can't wait to try them on. There's going to be a fashion show in the house. Thanks to Sonia and
Yay.
Brendan. That's Emma and Letterkenny. So there you go.
Excellent.
And
good
final
woman,
question
Emma.
For you. I'll put this to you, Sonia Lennon. Ask them, can swimsuits be made more forgiving for post-COVID?
Well, do you know, actually, I have to say, Duns have the most, because I've been swimming all the way through. I swam yesterday. I'm only just getting the heat back into my fingertips now. Duns have the most flattering, beautiful, draped swimsuit. It comes in burgundy, blue and black. Nice. Honestly, it's like 1950s pinup, and you need curves for those shapes. So get your little COVID body into Duns and or go online and
I
get
said that
swimsuit.
Was the last one. Sorry, we want to know if culottes are going to make a comeback. Remember those? I do remember those, yes. They're shorts that look like a skirt.
As I may, Ray, I just can't carry off a culotte.
I'd have to see you in them, Brendan, before I could decide. Okay, good luck.
Sure, give anything a go nowadays.
Right. Brendan Courtney and Sonia Lennon, thanks so much. Mind yourselves.
Thanks.
See
thanks,
you.
Ray.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy bye. Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Mm-hmm. 51551 RayDarcy.ie. Now, Jenny, my wife, spotted this man on Twitter earlier in the week and she DM'd him. And she said, you have to talk to that man. So, Gareth Wild is on the line. How are you doing, Gareth?
Hey, I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Good to talk to you. And congratulations.
It's been a very strange week.
Little did you know when you set yourself a challenge 6 years ago that you'd end up talking on Irish radio.
Yeah, it was never really meant to be something that would be picked up and talked about quite so much. You know, it was just something to do to pass the time.
And you were on this morning.
It's gone everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. Have you gone international apart from Ireland? Have you gone global?
Yeah, I've done one with Australia. I'm doing New Zealand, America, Canada. What is going on? Why is this interested people so much? I don't know.
Brilliant. Okay, so 6 years ago, while driving into your local Sainsbury's supermarket, was it out of boredom or what? Well, what?
Yeah, you know, because I mean, I've lived in Bromley for a long time now, and whenever I'm faced with doing something, boring, repetitive, I like to set little games just to challenge myself to make it a little bit more interesting. You know, the same as if you're driving along a motorway, like something like that. But so I was at the car park and I thought, I wonder if I could actually get all of the spaces. I've been parking here long enough, I've probably done most of them already. But then I thought, from that point onwards, I'll just keep a tally. I had time on my side, I wasn't moving anywhere, and it just took a mere 6 years and here I am.
All 211 car parking spots in the Sainsbury's in Bromley in southeast London. never been achieved before, surprisingly.
If somebody else had been bored enough to try it, then I doff my cap to them.
Okay, so how did you set about doing this and making sure that you had, in fact, parked in all 211 spots?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to go in with a plan. You don't want to be just guessing what you're doing. I went on Google Maps and got an overhead view of the car park so that I could assign numbers to each bay. And then I made it colour coordinated. It was all very organised, so that I knew that each time when I was going in, just roughly a couple of different bays that I needed to get. So I mean, you could say that I've put way too much effort into this. It's not healthy.
So everyone listening will know that there are certain sort of premium spots in a car park. They're close to the entrance or the exit, and they don't involve driving around too much. There's sort of an optimal one, isn't there, in every car park?
Yeah. I mean, that's it. I've actually highlighted a couple on one of the maps I drew up, because I think seeing as I was doing this, I thought I may as well try and make a little a chart for people, so that if they did get interested in it, they could at least see what I thought was the best ones. And I mean, there's a bunch of criteria that needs to be met to have really top tier parking spots. I think like proximity to the store, proximity to trolley bays.
Yes.
Can you get into it easily? There's loads of hazards around a car park. You don't want to get your car dinged if you open the door and the bay's a little bit too tight. So,
yes.
I've really overthought this.
but you see, I suppose we all think sort of roughly the same. So that best spot is probably the one most difficult to tick off in your 211 challenge.
Yeah, do you not? So the absolute best one that was on my list was the one that I identified as being C1. It's really close to the entrance. It's got sort of good access to everything.
Yeah.
But I think as a result, the people who use it most, the people who are just stopping in for just quick things,
yes.
So it's got quite a high turnover.
Ah,
of cars,
I see.
So
yes.
If you're a little bit patient, you can grab that one fairly easy.
How did you are married, you have a partner?
Yeah, you would wonder, wouldn't you? I've got a wife and two kids, and actually having the kids meant I could legitimately use the family.
The family
as well.
I've
thought about everything here.
So it begs the question, Gareth Wilde, what next?
Another supermarket, Lidl, got in touch and they said if I did, every 10 spots that I did at their supermarket, they donate money to a food charity.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I cannot refuse that.
No, you can't refuse that.
Once you've been set a challenge, I think you've got to go for it.
What do you do in real life when you're not looking for car parking spaces?
I run a video production company with two friends. It's called Explosive Allen Productions, and we work primarily in the games industry.
And did you didn't do a time lapse over 6 years, did you?
Oh, do you know what? I'm quite sad that I didn't document it a lot, fuller, because that could have been great.
Well, listen, thanks for brightening up our day and our week, Gareth Wilde. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. And you.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
There's Graham Clifford there from Sanctuary Runners. Gareth, oh my God, my mate Gareth, I worked with him on a virtual channel in the UK years ago. Such a great fella. He is great sense of humour. And on fashion and dressing up, can't wait to dress to impress again. It's been too long, that feeling after a shower on a Saturday when you put on the good clothes. Yeah. I haven't bought clothes in a year. Well, I suppose you're most people. And you know what? I don't think I need to buy any more. I've survived this year with what I have. See, that's the change, isn't it? People realise now that they can survive without buying new clothes and other things. And it was a moment to pause. We could have done with a shorter moment, but it was a moment to pause, was lockdown, and people will come out of it differently. An Ishtosh and now the Free Skelton and Oak to La Kieran of Farda. Gurmadaga Kieran, have a great weekend. Thank you. 51551 ray at rte.ie. And Aoife Scott will be returning just before the end of the show to sing us out. She won't really be returning. She's in her house down the edge of the Corrie down in Ballysacks, the bedroom to be precise, with Andy, and they'll be performing for us before we leave you today at 4:30. Now it's time for our quiz of today. Today, the 13th of April, final day of April. Tomorrow, the 1st of May. 10 questions on the way on events that happened on this day over the years. And we say hello on this Friday afternoon to Dano Sheridan in Newbridge in County Kildare. How are you doing, Dano?
I'm very well, thank you, Ray.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
You're out in your shed, are you?
Well, I'm in the kitchen now because there's too much noise and distraction in the shed.
Okay, what do you do when you're out in the shed?
I'm a wood turner.
Is it a hobby or a job?
It's a hobby, yeah.
It's a hobby, right, okay. How long are you wood turning?
Since 2006.
And why did you decide to start it as a hobby?
Because there was night classes in the tech in Newbridge.
Right.
And I went down and I done the night class under Emmett Cain, was our teacher.
Yeah.
And I took to it like a duck to the water.
Brilliant. And that's sort of, you hold a piece of wood up against the oak that goes around and you shape it. Is that it?
Exactly. That's it. In a nutshell.
So it's nearly like the wood equivalent of pottery.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is indeed.
Right. And what do you make?
I make bowls.
Right.
Table lamps.
Yeah.
If you broke a table leg, I'd remake the table leg for you.
Right. And what's your wood of choice?
I love beech.
Why so?
And because it's you can get spotted beech, and the colour is gorgeous in it. You know, every piece of wood you start to shave, It surprises you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's every piece is unique.
It's like opening a box of all sorts.
Lovely description. So you're the artistic side of the business, and your wife. What's your wife's name?
Dro. D R O. Yeah.
Dro. And Dro is the business head, is she?
She is indeed. Yeah.
Yeah. So you actually sell stuff online. No.
We don't really sell it online, no. We give it away and we make them for our relatives.
Ah, right, okay. Okay, so it really is a hobby,
Oh, that's all, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you're married 4 years?
4 years, yeah.
Yeah, how did lockdown treat the two of you?
We got on very well anyway because we were together all the time. I spent a good bit of time out in the shed and she has the garden. She loves the garden. So we were preparing for that and we've all our stuff sowed now. So
great.
Hopefully we don't get any more frost.
Yeah. Okay, so you're up against Richie Murray in Monaleen in County Limerick. How are you doing, Richie?
How are you doing, Ray? How are you getting
good on? Say hello to Dano there.
Dano, how are you doing? Best of luck to you.
I'm very well, Richie. Thank you. Best of luck, bud.
Yeah.
Good man. Thank you.
You're just in from work, Richie?
Just in from work, Ray. Was pulling up outside my mother-in-law's house, who had just taken in our kids after they finished school, and I've just finished school as well. So just heard the quiz being announced as I was pulling out, and I said, you know what, I'll ring the number for the laugh, and didn't expect to get through, so...
Here you are.
All those posters and paintings I sent into you when you were in the den many years ago were never shown. Oh, I suppose you're making up for it now.
I do apologise. We got so many in. I do apologise. So you've your own children now who would be sending in paintings if the equivalent of the den was on now, but unfortunately it isn't.
There you go.
Yeah. So is it primary or secondary school you do?
Primary school, yes. So I teach in St. Patrick's Boys National School on the Dublin Road in Limerick there. So big shout out to the great staff and all the pupils there going home, looking forward to enjoying the long weekend.
Yeah,
and returning to school and that.
Have you got 3 or 4 days off?
We have the Tuesday as well, actually.
Nice.
On Wednesday.
Yeah, that's a nice little break, isn't it?
It is, yeah. After the madness that we've all been through now, just be great to recharge the batteries a bit and hopefully we'll get a nice bit of weather. But as the phone rang again, it started to rain, unfortunately.
So your own children, what age are they?
Yeah, so I have Ava, who's 10, I have Killian, who's 7, and then Oisín is 3 as well. So fourth class, and the young fella's in play school.
Brilliant. Okay. You know the deal, Dano and Richie. 5 questions each. Whoever answers most correctly gets the prize. If it's a draw at the end of the 5 questions, we go to a tie-break situation. Good luck, Dano in Newbridge. Good luck, Richie in Castletroy. Here we go.
Thank you.
Radio. First question for you, Dano. On this day in 1911, Portugal approved the rights of women to vote. What are the colours of the flag of Portugal? Red and green or red and yellow?
Red and yellow.
It's red and green, Dano. Red and green. Okay, early days. Richie, on this day in 1309, Casimir the Great, King of Poland, was born in Kowal. K-O-W-A-L. Not really relevant. What are the colours on the flag of Poland? Red and white or red and black?
Red and white, Ray.
Correct answer. Dano, second question for you. Have a listen to this.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started. Wait, the earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall.
Now, on this day, 1981, Kunal Nair, a British Indian actor, was born in London. He plays the part of Raj in that American sitcom. Can you name it?
Cheers.
No, it's not. It's The Big Bang Theory. Okay. Stay with us, Dano. Stay with us. It's not over yet. Richie, have a listen to this.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works.
Now, on this day in 2018, Marvel film Avengers Infinity War set a new record for an opening weekend, earning $250 million in the US. It starred that actor as Henry Pym. You heard him there as Gordon Gekko in Wall Street. Can you name him?
Oh, that's a no, Ray, I'm afraid.
No, Michael Douglas. Michael Douglas. Okay. Right, Dano, let's get you on the scoreboard here, okay? On this day in 1838, Central American country Nicaragua declared independence from the Central American Federation. Which of these is the capital city of Nicaragua? Managua or San Salvador?
Managua.
Is the correct answer. You're on the scoreboard, Dano. Right, Richie. Your third question is this. On this day in 1989, the USA beat Central American country Costa Rica 1-0 in a World Cup qualifying match. Which of these is the capital city of Costa Rica? San Jose or Kingston?
Ooh, Kingston.
Is Jamaica. We were looking for San Jose. Geez. Yeah, okay. Right, it's 1-1 as we're on to question number 4 for Dano. Have a listen to this, Dano. On this day in 1998, that former Boyzone singer married Yvonne Connolly on the Caribbean island of Nevis. Can you name him?
Ronan Keaton.
Correct. Just got a new job on The One Show on the BBC. He's doing Thursdays and Fridays, I believe. So you're on 2. Richie, have a listen to this. So there you go. Hand on Your Heart was number 1 on this day in 1989. Can you name the singer?
Kylie Minogue.
Correct answer. It's 2-2. Down to the wire. Dan, get this right, you'll put Richie under a good bit of pressure to get his final question correct. So good luck with this. On this day in 1988, actor Tom Hanks married actress Rita Wilson in California. In what year was Tom Hanks born? 1952, 1956 or 1960? Tom Hanks.
1952.
It was 1956.
Same age as me.
All right. 64. There you go. Right, no use to you now, though. You'll know the next time. Right, Richie, if you get this right, you walk away with the prize. Get it wrong, we're into a tiebreak situation. Good luck with this. On this day in 1988, at the 33rd Eurovision Song Contest in Dublin, Celine Dion won for Switzerland. In what year was Celine Dion born? 1965, 1968 or 1972?
1968.
Is the correct answer. She celebrated her birthday 30th of March. She's 53. So that makes you today's winner, Richie. Dano, sorry about that.
Well done, Richie.
Hello, Dano.
Listen, well done. I said I'd stop Thank doing you. This, but seeing as it's the beginning of the la-la-la-la long weekend and the fact that you were out in the shed and Dro is in the garden, I'm going to send you out 2 Ray Darcy Show mugs. Matching mugs.
Thank you.
Okay, great talking to you.
Thanks very much.
Enjoy the weekend. Luck, see you,
Thank
see you, Dano. Bye, bye.
Take care. Richie,
good news for you
Take
then. You're
Thanks
off.
Much,
you're off to Cork when all of this sorts Lovely. Itself out. And the Imperial Hotel Cork.com, and they're part of the Flynn Hotel Collection. Enjoy it. Enjoy Thanks the 4 days much, off Ray. As well, Richie. See you.
You too, well.
Good
Have
luck. See you. Bye, 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 bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray at rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we spotted on Clodagh McKenna's Instagram her Friday fakeaway recipe for a butter chicken curry. And we said we have to talk to her about that. So she's on the line. Hello, Clodagh.
I am giggling away.
even just when you say it, butter chicken curry, it sounds appetizing. Yes.
I mean, it's just so good, isn't it? I wrote this recipe, you know, during the first lockdown when I was craving a delicious Indian curry, and it's my favorite all-time curry. And so that's when I came up with this recipe. And then today I was craving it again because it's the bank holiday weekend. It's Friday, it's raining here. And I'm like, I want a chicken curry tonight. So if I think I want one, probably everyone wants one, right?
Yeah. I'm looking at it here and the picture is just that vibrant color, that lovely curry color. So what's the trick? Because people make curries at home, and I'd say the variety is like it's infinite nearly, because you have every sort of thing. Because it basically a curry is just a sort of a stew from Asia, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is. I mean, I think the first thing, the most important thing, is that the marinating of the chicken. If you get at the time, if you've got able to do it for an hour, marinate it in this recipe. I marinate it in yogurt and some lemon and some cumin, paprika and chili powder. Now, the yogurt is the most important thing in there because it tenderizes the chicken with the lactose in it.
Right.
So you get that like melting, tender, gorgeous chicken. And then for the actual curry base itself, like you're saying, it's like basically an Indian stew. So it's so simple to make. It's like, you know, pop your casserole dish on, pop in olive oil, then onion, garlic, chili, ginger. And then the spices I use for the butter chicken are garam masala. And that's a great one to get for your store cupboard. So if anybody's, you know, popping out the shop, get garam masala, because then you don't have to mess around with adding, you know, millions of different spices. It's all in one.
Yes.
And then add in some tomato puree for that lovely red richness, and then chicken stock. And then you just let it simmer away for like 30 minutes or so. And then you add in the chicken, obviously, put in your chicken, or you could use, like, you put in the marinated chicken, or you could put in, if you wanted to do like a cheese version, you could add in cooked chicken. If you didn't have the time to do the marinade and you wanted it really fast and bring it down to 20 minutes, you can add in cooked chicken.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you pop in that and then serve it up. I was thinking earlier about like what I like to serve up a chicken with, and I was saying to your producer earlier on, and I was like, I actually like to serve with everything. Like, I don't like to miss out on anything when I'm having a fake away curry, you know, like.
So you have the naan bread, the rice.
The rice.
Yeah.
What mango else? Chutney.
Oh, papadoms.
The poppadoms. Yeah. You know, I actually don't go to the bother doing the poppadoms on Friday night.
You can get them in the supermarket. They're ready made. Lovely.
Can you?
Schwartz, yeah. They don't.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Did you not? Oh, come
no.
on. Because
I didn't know that.
No, there's two. Because there are ones that you pop, like, and somebody told me this. It's a cheat as well. The ones that you get in the box, you're supposed to put them into oil, but you can actually pop them into the microwave for 45 seconds. And they come out. Or they're actually ready-made ones now that they do.
God, I'm going to try out the ready-made ones.
Yeah, they're good. They're good. Yeah, they're good.
And Camille, what's your favourite mango chutney?
I'm not a big chutney person in our... You see,
oh, are you not?
All of those niceties when you have children, they go out the window for a while. You know, I'll return later on in life. But just the basic curry and the fact that they eat that
is great. I was saying earlier, I love... You know, the Sharwoods, and I mean, every foodie out there now is going to be like, what? I love.
Do you not make your own?
So much.
Oh, come on. Claude McKenna. Shock horror.
I like my butter chicken with that one. It's probably because there's so much sugar in it,
yes,
probably.
Yes,
but I just love it. And then a big dollop of yogurt.
Limes, coriander. Yes, lovely.
Oh, and a big glass of wine. Maybe a big glass of like Chianti.
I'm so
hungry right now.
Because you've been working hard today. What have you been doing today?
Oh, I'm exhausted, Ray. So we just finished 2 weeks of shooting every single day for my next cookery book.
Right.
Because about 2 months ago, my publisher said to me, okay, you might take this as good news or bad news, but we want you to have another cookbook out by October. And I was like, it usually takes me 2 years to do a cookbook. And she's like, well, you need to have it done in 3 months' time. And so I've been putting on quite a bit of weight,
cooking.
Mad. And then the last 2 weeks, we had a team of 7 people in the house for 2 weeks shooting. And we shot 80 recipes and cooked 80 dishes in 2 weeks. So I'm exhausted, but I'm also starving. And I'm really looking forward to opening up a bottle of wine tonight.
And
I'm sure the rest of Ireland is on a Friday bank holiday weekend.
Does Harry help you with the testing of the recipes?
By testing them, tasting.
Yes.
He's a tasting master.
Right. God, hasn't he got the life, huh?
Yeah. He's got the life, yeah.
Living in the grounds of Downton Abbey, married to Claude McKenna. Are you married?
We're a couple of months away.
Yes, I knew it was on the card. So there,
yeah.
And then he gets to test all your recipes. Brilliant.
I know.
So tell us about J-Lo, because things were flagging a bit, were they?
Well, so that what you're referring to is my Insta stories. I kind of tend to share probably too much of my Insta stories. But yesterday on my Insta story, it was like coming to like nearly end of the day. Everybody was just exhausted. Myself and one of the other girls on the crew were like the eldest of it. Like we're both kind of coming up to our 50s. And all the rest of the team are just so young. And I was over with her on the stove and I'm like, I am so exhausted, but I'm not going to admit it in front of all these young ones. And she's like, I know, I'm the exact same. And I'm like, we need a little bit of a J-Lo moment. And so we like lashed on the J-Lo music super loud.
Later on tonight, after the curry and the Chianti, and that'll be J-Lo will be back on, yeah.
Oh my God, bring back the discos, Ray, love to go out. Oh my God. Anyhow.
We had one in our house earlier on during lockdown. It was great crack.
A disco?
You can get those bulbs. I was so surprised and impressed. It's a bulb, right? And it just screws into a normal lampstand or whatever. And the effect was amazing. Like we all felt we were in a disco. So we just blasted it out.
All flashing lights.
The whole lot. It was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. I was just thinking, aren't we doing really well on British television at the moment? Just yesterday it was announced that Ronan Keating is to present The One Show on Thursdays and Fridays. You've just got your regular slot on This Morning on ITV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Angela Scanlon, of course, is playing a blinder there on various things on the BBC. I saw her on Would I Like You the other day. Yeah. They're like Laura Whitmore, we always had a really good presents. Of course, Dara O'Brien as well.
And Imelda May.
Imelda May, yeah. It's all
she
good.
She just got number one and she just lives down the road. And do you know what the funny thing is that we're all like good friends, which is so, like everyone you name, we're all good buddies. That's right. Even nicer, you know. There's such a lovely Irish crew over here and we all, you know, kind of like, you know, hear each other and like, you know, support
and of course,
each
look,
other.
The king of them all. I forgot to mention. It's Graham so Norton. Obvious. Exactly, exactly. There you go.
He's just brilliant. I hope he is just so brilliant, so isn't brilliant. He? He totally flies the flag.
Well, listen, thanks for getting us drooling over your butter chicken curry and give us a bit of a bop there with J-Lo. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, lots of love, Ray. Yeah, have a good weekend.
When the book's out, of course, later on in the year, you'll talk to us. Okay. Claudia McKenna, thank you very much. Thank you. So that's somewhere in the UK. And now we go back to the Curragh of Kildare. And then I will repair noon. Have you learned that one? Have you learned that song, Aoife Scott?
I did, actually. Yeah,
did
I
you?
Sang it. I actually, yeah, we learned it for Arthur, actually, for his funeral. We sang it at the funeral in October.
You?
Yeah,
wasn't that lovely?
Because he was always, when I called up to him, you know, or this is our
your neighbour.
Ex-landlord, our neighbour, yeah. He used to be always at me going, will you learn that song?
You wouldn't. Would you indulge me just? Would you indulge me just? You know, a chorus of it.
No. I can't. Don't do that.
You're not allowed to do that, are you not? You're not allowed to ambush a singer with a song.
Andy has his guitar tuned for another song.
Yes, all right. No, you can do it a cappella. You can do it a cappella.
Okay. And it's there I will repair to the Curragh of Kildare. Uh-huh. And it's there I'll find tidings of my dear.
Oh, and you sang that at Arthur's funeral.
That's
lovely. that must be very special for you, Aoife.
It was really special, actually. It was really, really memorable. Like, as in, because I had never got to sing it for him. You know what I mean? Because he was always at me, and I was like, "Oh, I will, of course, Arthur." You know. And then, you know, then the lockdown happened, and of course, he was escaping from his house and driving down to us like a bald boy that he was. and you know, because he you know, he's 93. Like, you know, he was flying it around the place, and so then he just took a bad turn, like, and then, you know, was in hospital for a while. And then that was it, you know. So he was a great fella now altogether, and he kept us going during the lockdown.
That's lovely. Just we lovely reaction to you when you were on at the beginning of the show, and we kept some of them just to put you in good form. I absolutely adore Aoife Scott's music. It always lifts me up when I hear her on the radio. We need more like her. Looking forward to hearing her again, says Kathy. And that song is just brilliant. I'm a music teacher. I need to teach it to the choir, says Caroline Duggan. And Aoife sounds absolutely gorgeous listening here in Lahinch. And that was so lovely. It's gas listening to a band from their bedroom.
See how we feel. It's kind of mad to be talking to you, doing a live gig from our bedroom as well. It's a bit mad.
It'll never be the same. That's it. I'm not going to say any more. So just to remind people, this is sort of part of our kitchen sessions. We were scratching our heads as to what we could do to get live music on the radio during lockdown, and we sorted it out last week, and now we're out of lockdown. But anyway, there you go. It gives us an opportunity to do it, and I think it's different for you, obviously, because you're at home and you're more relaxed, and it there's a different vibe to the whole thing as opposed to if you're in studio. So we may continue doing it.
I think it
lockdown.
Is good vibe, actually, because I could be in my pyjamas for all of you. You know what I mean?
Stop.
No, I'm not I made an effort. I put on a dress because I felt like I was going to work here.
Okay,
I did make an effort. I have makeup on me and everything. So you're missing all of that.
Right. so you've chosen an apt song for the long weekend and the good news that we got yesterday. What is it?
Well, we're going to do a song for it because we can now go inter-county travel. And I think that's the big thing. I think that's the big thing for me and Andy, really, is that we can kind of go anywhere now and we can go everywhere.
Okay,
and so,
everywhere, right.
Well, everywhere, apart from over the ocean to, you know, the first thing that we're going to do when we get to go on flights is go over to our Uncle Michael in San Francisco. But before that, I'm going to go to County Clare once the inter-county travel opens in a couple of weeks. And I'm going to go see my friend Denise. So... I'm going to sing this for everybody who's so excited about getting to go everywhere or anywhere. It's Fleetwood Mac, Everywhere. So I hope you're ready.
When you're ready.
Can you hear me calling out your name? You know that I'm falling and I don't know what to say. Speak a little louder, even shout. You know that I'm proud and I can't get the words out. Oh, I wanna be with you everywhere. Oh, I wanna be.
Can you hear me calling out your name? You know that I'm falling and I don't know what to say. Speak a little louder, even shout. You know that I'm proud and I can't get the words out.
That was lovely.
Thank you very much.
Andy texts in, beautiful guitar. So, well done, Andy.
Andy has a website called irishguitarlessons.com if he wants to learn how he did that. Yeah.
So, Tradfest starting RT2 May 13th at 11:10, and you're there as part of the Dublin Castle Sessions, and people can see you singing your new song, Sweet October. Aoife Scott, thank you very much. Mind yourself, enjoy the long weekend. See you, Andy. Bye.
Thanks.
See you. Bye. Bye. That's it from us. Sarah McInerney is on the way. We are back on Tuesday at 3 o'clock. Enjoy your long weekend. Whatever you're doing, do it safely, please.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.